Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A big question is presented to us in the gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 13. Will only a few be saved? That's not only an interesting question, it is a most serious one because it deals with the issue of life and death, heaven and hell, who will be saved and who will be lost. So it deserves our utmost attention as we seek to understand and apply this Word of God for our lives. I want to ask you something. Have you ever planned to take a flight to some special destination? Well, you got your bags packed, but you got to the airport just a little bit late, and you also failed to confirm your reservations, and by the time you got to the counter there, you were told, with much apologies, you'll not be able to be on that flight. Has that happened to you? Well, I don't see too many hands, but you know it happens all, if there's one. Yes, it happens every day to hundreds of people all over the world who thought they'd be on that flight, but they were excluded from that flight to that special destination. As bad and as sad as it is to miss your flight that you plan to go on to have a special time, that's nothing in comparison to being excluded from the kingdom of God. Now, you all know this parable of the five foolish maidens. It says they wasted their time, the lamp went out, and when the bridegroom came, they got all nervous and helter-skelter, running all over the place to get ready. And the door was shut, and they were excluded from the kingdom of God. What Jesus is doing in our text is giving a warning that it's possible, a dangerous warning, that it's possible to be excluded from the kingdom of God, to have the door shut, and that you would not be on that flight to heaven. So you can see how this gospel lesson really needs close attention. It says Jesus had set his mind to go to Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to go there to suffer and die for the sins of the world. He was going to pay the supreme price to reconcile sinners to a holy God. And as he went, he spoke about more and more eternal matters. But he was just surprised at how complacent people were about their eternal destiny. Jesus said in another place, I know I've come to seek and to save the lost, but there are people who don't even believe they're lost, and they're not even thinking about their eternal destiny. And so he would tell people urgently to repent of their sins and trust in him before it was too late. As Jesus was teaching, somebody in the crowd yelled out, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, we don't know who asked the question. But we do know this, that at that time and in that culture, most people believed that the Jew would be saved and the Gentile would perish. The Jew would be saved because of his heredity, his bloodline back to Father Abraham. And if he did good and followed the rules of the rabbi, he was in, like Flynn. Nothing to worry about. So you talk about complacency. If you were a Jew and you didn't do any heinous crime, why, you were assured that you would be among the few who would be saved. Well, friends, this complacency is right with us today in this world of ours, big time. People talk about being saved because they were raised in a Christian home and they remember having prayers around the family table. People talk about being saved. Well, I was a member of a Christian church, and I even was an acolyte, and I was an usher too. But it comes out most clearly at the time of death. Most people in our world believe everybody goes to heaven unless you have done something notoriously bad. Think about it. At most times when people die, the message is given, well, they're up there and they're smiling, looking down upon us. Everybody gets saved. A famous person in our country, if he dies, well, the newscaster will say something like this, well, he's up in heaven and smiling down on us. It's like, what? Everybody gets saved? What complacency? What complacency? Well, let's examine Jesus' answer to what he said to the question. Now, the person who asked the question, along with the others gathered around, believed that Jesus would affirm that only a few would be saved. But he did not affirm that at all. He did not even answer directly the question. He didn't want people to be foolishly speculating about the number saved. He rather was concerned that people would ask themselves, will I be saved? He always wanted people to personally evaluate their relationship with the living God. And so Jesus takes the rather theoretical question, will the few be saved? He turns it around and says, will the saved be you? Again, making it very personal. So, we need to know for sure, don't we? How can I be saved? And if we're going to be good witnesses and people who support missions, we need to know, how can I be saved? And I'll try and be as clear and succinct as possible on this. We are saved by God's grace, and by his grace alone, okay? We can't earn forgiveness. You can't buy heaven. You can't somehow merit God's favor. We are saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without any merit or worthiness on our part at all. Heaven's narrow door is open to everyone who will repent and believe the gospel. That's so wonderful, and it's a great message to share as best we can. But when Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many will seek to enter and will not be able to, he is saying, make sure you don't receive the grace of God in vain. That is to say, don't treat this amazing, wonderful grace as a cheap thing. So let me give you some examples how a person can treat the wonderful grace of God as a cheap thing and in the end maybe lose it all, to lose it all. Look what Jesus says, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Well, here's an example. Ask for forgiveness without ever taking your sins seriously. Now, we all want forgiveness, but sometimes people never enumerate their sins, never talk specifically about their sins to God and how they need his help to overcome this particular trespass. Treating God's grace as a cheap thing would be like coming to Holy Communion without repenting, without even thinking about sin and the price Jesus paid for the remission of our sins. Let's not treat Holy Communion as a little ritual to do without taking to heart the precious forgiveness of our sins. Then, Cheap grace would be to say, I'm a believer in Jesus, without being a disciple of Jesus. You know, the Bible says the devils believe. The devils believe. With their head, they know everything about Jesus and what he has done. But Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Cheap grace would be, since God has done everything to earn our salvation for us, hey, we can go out and live as we want to and do as we please. Cheap grace would be knowing the gospel as a sterile doctrine rather than living the gospel in a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So, sadly to say, salvation is not for the lukewarm, the half-hearted, the uncommitted, okay? Salvation is for any and all people who, by God's grace, through faith in the Lord, cling to him for mercy and cry out for mercy from the heart. And yes, it takes effort to be heavenly minded because we have that old worldly nature that pulls on us, and we have the devil who continually works away trying to get us off the beaten path and get us caught up into things that will be of no avail. Let's remember, dear friends, the devil is still working to the bitter end to rob you and me of our eternal inheritance. Well, there are hundreds of religions in this world, hundreds and hundreds, and each has their own system of belief and how you can be saved. Now, I want you to imagine that all the religions of the world have their door. And which door will you choose? Well, you know there are people who say, it doesn't matter which door. It all leads into the same place. You've heard that, haven't you? Why, you just go through any doorway and it'll lead you to heaven. They make this declaration out of their supreme intelligence. And with their limited human reason, they are so quick to contradict the Word of God and go over and above what God says. How he is the potter, we are the clay. Does the clay talk back to the potter and say, but no, I'm going to believe and I'm going to go this way and this is how I'm going to get to heaven? Oh, the pride in our world today, how people are so willing to put the Bible aside and make up their own definition of salvation. Well, friends, you should know there really are only two religions in this whole wide world. I hope that doesn't surprise you, because all religions outside of Christianity teach you must work to gain your salvation. You must be your own savior, and you must do this. Buddhism, for example, says if you sin, well, the only way you get rid of that sin is do good. That will counteract it and take it away. And so you save yourself. Only in Christianity do you have a Savior who by his birth, life, death, and resurrection has done it all for you. And you receive it by grace through faith in him with repentant and thankful hearts unto the Lord. Now, the door is narrow because Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Look, if you could earn your salvation, you don't need Jesus. You don't even need to be here. You don't need the Bible. If you can earn it, you can put this all away. Do it yourself. But Jesus, the whole message of the Bible is, I am the door. Those who come in through me will be saved. And so the door is narrow in that it's only through Christ and his blood and righteousness that a person can be forgiven and the door to heaven opened. But the door is also narrow because we have a limited amount of time while we're here on this earth. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know if we're going to get mixed up with things like El Paso and Dayton, and all of a sudden our life is snuffed out. That's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. So today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Because the time we have on this earth is slipping away. And when death comes, why, then our chances to be saved run out. Jesus wants us to live in a personal relationship with Him. He tells this story to draw people's attention. He says in our text, and I'll read it once again, once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then He will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And He will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. Wow. Jesus is not being subtle here at all. He is directly addressing the self-righteousness and delusion of His generation, which thought, by heredity and by being good, we will be saved. But Jesus answers them, and He says that they would certainly not enter. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. They believed that, hey, if we are on the wrong side of the door on Judgment Day, we can say that we ate with Him, we talked with Him, we listened to His words, and certainly that's got to stand for something. And dear friends, we must know this, that on the contrary, mere acquaintanceship with Jesus will not avail on Judgment Day. Do not mistake mere acquaintanceship with Jesus for a living personal relationship with Him. For Jesus says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So many people, they think they know Jesus. They know about Him, but they really don't know Him in a personal way. They know about His birth, life, death, and resurrection, but they've never really said from the heart, oh Lord, You are my all in all. You came and rescued me from sin and hell and damnation. I thank You through Your holy, precious blood. Cover me, wash away. I repent of all my sins, and I trust in You, Jesus, from the heart. They've never said that. Do not mistake mere association with Jesus and a little head knowledge about Him with a personal relationship with our Lord as we walk and talk with Him and confess our heartfelt needs to Him. It's only in a personal relationship that we can find peace and power and comfort and direction for our Christian lives. So, contrary to the opinion of that day, that only a few would be saved, you need to hear the text as it says, hey, wait a minute. There's going to be in heaven a great multitude which no man can number. There's going to be believing Jews, believing Gentiles. There'll be people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue before the throne of God. Jesus says, and people will come from the east and the west, from north and south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's encouraging. That, yes, from all over the world, there will be people gathered around the great banquet feast of the Lord in heaven. And remember, God saves people not because of their activity, not because of their heredity, not by proxy. Well, I was raised in a Christian home. It should help that my parents are believers. No, you're not saved by proxy. God saves any and all people by His grace through faith in the Lord Jesus who cry out to Him for mercy. God saves any and all people who will enter into a personal relationship with Him through repentance and faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do pray that God would give us the grace to really listen to the gospel lesson this morning. Please read and reread Luke 13 again and again. Take it to heart. And may the Holy Spirit just lead us every day closer to that narrow door. And may the Holy Spirit just wash away our sins in the blood of Jesus and renew us and transform us and regenerate us so that we may go forth to live a life pleasing to our God until He calls us home. And one day He will call us home, and we will join by His grace the saints and angels in heaven and picture this around the great wedding table of the Lord and have a wonderful feast and celebration with all the saints and angels in heaven. In the meantime, don't become discouraged with the trials and troubles of life. Don't get weighed down by all the negative things that might be happening in your life. Hang in there. Jesus says, persevere, strive to enter by the narrow door. Why? Because, my friends, the best is yet to be. Amen? Yeah. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.